Welcome back to West Kent Today. With me, John Buck, my guest, Leonora Langley. We're going to be with you after Fine Young Cannibals and Good Thing. You must be talking about me again. Good morning, Leonora.
Oh, good morning, John. Lovely to see you again and to talk to you about a very important subject.
Well, what is the subject? Let's not keep them waiting.
So, recently we had Infant Mental Health Awareness Week, which was coordinated by the Parent Infant Foundation, and it's been going for the past 7 years and now actually grown into a global event. And the theme this year was Bonding Before Birth, highlighting the importance of how what happens during pregnancy can impact a baby's future mental health and well-being. So with the aim of helping parents in their psychological preparation for parenthood, this event is actually designed to help build strong relationships between parents and their new baby based on love, compassion and affection.
Shouldn't it be based on that anyway?
Well, of course it do. That sounds so natural.
Yeah, but
and so intrinsic almost, you know, to the human condition. But sadly, that's not always happened. So, you know, I think there's been a tendency in our society to focus on children's mental health once they start school, but probably not enough before, and quite often the subject is neglected and misunderstood.
Yes, we often hear about music soothing babies in the womb. I was talking about this Saturday night with some friends, and we're saying that if a couple have a row, then that's going to affect the baby as well. And we don't have enough time for preparation for parenthood anyway, when we're all new to it.
And we're not taught anything at school about it, are we? So in my book, Let the Souls of Our Children Sing, which is basically about the vital importance of nurturing emotional well-being in the young, I describe how from the moment a child is conceived, they're able to pick up on their parents' joy or disappointment about the pregnancy. Apparently, as you said, a fetus is capable of a range of emotions and sensory experiences, such as seeing, tasting, hearing, but most importantly, I think, feeling, which is why it is preferable for a child to feel wanted and accepted in its embryonic state. So scientists have proven that a fetus has a short-term memory of at least 10 minutes and a long-term memory of at least a day. But people don't think about that, I don't think. I think they say they dismiss a child until they reach a school age because, you know, people like to quantify and measure things. And they say, oh, they're far too young to remember any of this. But I don't think that's quite the case. I think vibrationally, a baby remembers much more than we'll ever know. So recent research has shown that the developing fetus is able to respond to music, particularly lullabies. But apparently you mustn't put your mobile phone to your tummy if you're pregnant because it's too loud for the baby. But the unborn child can move to the rhythm of its mother's voice and seems to develop more quickly outside the womb when exposed to classical music for 10 minutes a day because it opens up the neural paths of the baby.
I don't think I was exposed to classical music because I'm a pop fan.
Well, so am I. Yeah. I'm a musician and yeah. I love classical music, but I love all sorts of music.
Yeah. So, we've got this stage where, you know, we didn't have mobile phones. And that, in fact, television wasn't on very often during the day, so we only had the radio to listen to. Music While You Work, Housewife's
yes.
Choice and things like that. I'm showing my age here, listeners. It's on Zimmer frames on its way. But these days we're surrounded by noise. So anything from the roar of traffic can affect a child as well, can't it?
Yes, I'm sure it has. And I'm sure they will adapt to a certain extent. But we're wondering just what that adaptation is. Apparently, everything the mother experiences whilst pregnant affects the unborn child in some way. Obviously, the relationship between a mother and her partner can have a profound effect on an unborn child. So a loving and mutually respectful relationship is obviously preferable to a stormy, unsettled one, and is likely to help predetermine a child's future emotional well-being, I think. So I think, beyond anything, it's the mood of the expectant mother which is known to influence a baby's development, as is her choice of foods, nutritional supplements, as well as, obviously, the avoidance of smoking, drugs, alcohol and chemical substances in personal products and the environment.
Chemical substances in personal products, what do you mean
yes,
by that?
Yes, well, I know that in my own house, I try to avoid toxic substances in my house. I try to go with an alternative organic product because I don't think we quite realise just how much we're affected, our eyes, our nose, our throat, by, you know, chemicals.
So we're talking about cleaning products?
Yes, definitely.
Deodorants, perfume?
Absolutely, everything. My son still loves to wear perfume. And I say to him, I'd rather you didn't get too close to me, darling. You can get close to your girlfriend, but not me, please.
So when you say perfume, is it aftershave or is it...
Both.
Both, okay, right.
And he's a model, so he will smother himself in all these products. Right. And, you know, I say to him, just look online just how toxic some of them can be. Yeah. Even when I was a teacher in a classroom, I was a bit against the old Lynx effect,
yes.
in the classroom. You know, kids came from PE and smothered themselves in deodorant sprays, and then I had to open the windows because in the room there was going to be an asthmatic probably,
yes.
or an eczema sufferer, and they're more sensitive to those kind of things. You know, I'm not damning any particular product. I shouldn't actually have mentioned the particular product.
Other deodorants are available, but the Lynx effect, I can go back to the original adverts. I tried it. It never had that effect on me.
So when a baby reaches maturation and prepares to leave the relative security and comfort of the womb, its passage to the outside world, I think, needs to be as serene and stress-free as possible, because I think being born is potentially the most stressful event of a human being's life.
Well, I can relate that to the mother, because their bodies are really being stretched to the limit. And the stress they feel gets related to the baby.
Definitely.
I've still got the bruises from childbirth where my wife kicked me away, trying to hold her hand while giving birth. Right across the room, yeah. No, never mind, yeah.
You see, I think that the fetus endures this really extraordinary physical and emotional trauma in trying to come down the birth canal in preparation for its first breath. In addition, it assimilates the emotional state of the mother at the time of birth. Mm-hmm. So any uncertainty and misgivings from the mother can influence the birthing process. So the best start for the baby is for the mother to communicate to them that the world is a safe and welcoming place.
Yeah, I go along with that, but if the mother is distressed during childbirth, trying to reassure the baby is going to be very difficult, and a mum shouldn't blame herself if she's feeling
definitely
that
not. No. I'm not into the blame game. I always say no one is to blame and no one's blameless. We're all doing the best we possibly can. So, you know, sometimes a cesarean birth is necessary, but it is an abrupt and sudden interception of the biologically programmed vaginal birth process. Yeah. That's what I think.
Okay. Do you have a break there? Okay. You're listening to West Kent Today, and with me is Leonora Langley, and we are talking about infant mental health awareness. And we've just been down the birth canal, and we're now going to talk about something that leads on from that. Isn't that right, Leonora?
It's hard to follow that. I think a vital part of both pre-birth and a baby's first experience at birth are the relationships of bonding and attachment. A lot of people think it's one and the same thing, but they're definitely both terms to describe the feelings between a parent or caregiver and their child, but they're actually quite different ways of connecting with an infant. bonding is about what the parent and the wider family is experiencing, such as the overwhelming feeling of love and devotion that they feel towards the baby. And by contrast, attachment, described by psychoanalyst John Bowlby, is a reciprocal process, a mutual process, an emotional connection which develops between the parent and the child that helps the infant to feel understood and secure. Now, that may sound quite difficult to achieve, but it's actually, I think, imperative to the child's well-being. The secure attachment starts inside the womb, where the baby gets used to the mother's heartbeat and their voice, and then needs to be continued and reinforced from birth in what's called an external womb environment for the first 18 months of life. So the baby's still in a very much womb-like state for those first 18 months. It's called the exploratory stage. And then the baby starts, if it's done effectively, the baby begins to mirror the mother's love, internalize it, and that's how they build a strong sense of self. And sadly, it's often missing. If this attachment doesn't take place, then a child is more likely to experience what are known as ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, which can be difficult to overcome, if not take a lifetime to overcome.
Now, we've been talking mainly about the relationship with the unborn child and the baby with the mother, but dads play a role in this as well.
Absolutely. As I said earlier, the relationship between the mother and the father, you know, during conception and onwards is absolutely vital. And sadly, we sometimes dismiss the father, you know, until later on. But he can play a vital role in holding the baby, and changing the nappies, obviously, although that's not a subject he probably wants to do.
I've done my fair share.
And, you know, just supporting the mother. But the mother also needs to support the father and not exclude him from the experience.
It can go back even further when the baby is in the womb. Because I remember putting my hand on the tum and just chatting to this unborn child, you know, hopes and dreams and that, and remember how the baby would settle down. If it had been sort of being a little footballer, just by chatting, it just calmed down and things got better. So it does start right from conception onwards, supporting the mum, supporting the baby, and being there throughout the whole experience.
Definitely. But it's nothing you can force again. You know, it's got to come naturally. But I think it's getting better, that relationship. Both parents play a big role in the emotional well-being of their children.
And it really means that the parents may have to overcome some of the things that they went through. Now, I remember growing up, two grandparents were out of the scene. One had died and the other I didn't know existed until I was in my 20s. But the fact that both my mum and dad lost their fathers meant there wasn't that much physical contact or hugging when we were growing up. So that affected me, but I got coaxed round to saying that hugging is good.
It definitely is. You know, some people just don't like it.
No,
I go to hug somebody sometimes and they say, no, I don't do hugging. And I have to accept that. But I prefer to make physical contact. You know, a hug, I think, is such... It's an embrace, isn't it? Saying we're all human. We're all part of the human condition. And the agape love that the Greeks talk about, that we need to try and feel towards our neighbours and fellow human beings.
Yeah, I think greeting somebody with a hug to begin with is probably a bit over the top, but once you've got to know them and that, then it becomes more natural.
Of course. You can't force it.
No. Well, thank you very much for coming in, Leonora, and we look forward to seeing you again sometime when we look at more mental health issues.
Thank you very much for having me in today. It was wonderful to talk to you again.